Not with my sweater on and my socks. I'm all set.
Good morning, Hare Krishna. So today we're reading from chapter 14 in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. We're going to do verses 1 through 8. But we'd like to give a special welcome to, is it Aaron? Aaron's here visiting us for the first time. Hare Krishna, welcome. And it's my first time meeting Barbara, so Hare Bol to you. Hare Krishna. Like, so we're reading, Bhagavatam. Chapter 14, verses 1 through 8. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Narayanam Namaskritya. Chaiva Narottamam, Devim Saraswatim Vyasam, Tato Jayam Udirayet, Nasta Prayeshu Abhadreshu, Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya,
Bhagavati
Uttama Shloke, Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtaki. Before reciting the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is our very means of conquest, one should first offer respectful obeisances unto Narayan, the personality of Godhead, unto Naranarayan Rishi, the supermost human being, unto Mother Saraswati, the goddess of learning, and unto Srila Vyasadeva, the author. By regular attendance in classes on the Bhagavatam, and by rendering service unto the pure devotee,
all
that is troublesome to the heart,
all that is troublesome to the heart,
is almost completely destroyed.
And
loving service,
unto the personality of Godhead,
who is praised with transcendental songs, is established as an irrevocable fact. Okay, so what did we just do by offering those prayers? Why are we offering those prayers? Set the mood. Good. Anyone else? Krishna can enlighten us from the heart. Yeah. And why do we need that? Can't we figure it out on our own? No, we can't. So we need to offer our prayers to the Lord because everything comes by His mercy. So just thought I'd remind you that. Okay? All right. Hare Bol. Chapter 14, text 1. Sutu vacha
sampratiste
dvarakhayam
jishnau bandhu didrikshaya
gyatum cha punyashlokasya krishnasya cha vicheshtitam sampratiste dvarakhayam jishnau bandhu didrikshaya gyatum cha punyashlokasya krishnasya cha vicheshtitam. Chant, please. Sampratishte dvarakayam jishnu bandhu didrikshaya gyatam cha punyashlokasya krishnasya cha vicheshtitam sutuvacha sampratishte dvarakayam jishna bandhu didrikshaya
Jatam cha punya shlokasya. Krishna sya cha vichestitam. Sutta uvacha. Samprastite dvarakayam. Jishna bandhu dridrikshaya. Gyatam cha punya shlokasya. Krishnasya cha vichestitam sutta uvacha. Sri Sutta Goswami said, Sampratishte, having gone to Dwarakayam, the city of Dwarka, Jishnau, Arjuna. Who knows some other names of Arjuna? Dhananjaya, the winner of wealth. Another name for Arjuna, you know. Gudakesh. He doesn't sleep. Another one? Kaunteya, son of Kunti? Kaunte, thanks. Uh-huh. Partha, who's that after? Pritha, his mother. Mm-hmm. Kaunteya, we said. Kirita, isn't there? Kirita, isn't that one of his names? He has a crown, he has a jewel on his head. Savyasachin. What does that mean? Do you know what that means? Ambidextrous, but he's, besides from being a great bowman, he can do it with his right hand or his left hand. Savyasachin. Okay, just started. What was that? Gandivadhari. He has the Gandiva bowl. And you know what happens if you insult his Gandiva bowl? Okay, sorry. Bandhu. Friends and relatives. Didrikshaya. For meeting them. Gyatum. To know. Cha, also, punyashlokasya, of one whose glories are sung by the Vedic hymns. Krishnasya, of Lord Krishna. Cha, and vichestitam, further programs of work. Translation and the purports by Srila Prabhupada. Sri Sutta Goswami said, Arjuna went to Dwarka to see Lord Sri Krishna and other friends, and also to learn from the Lord of his next activities. I'm just going to read the purport because we're doing 8 verses, okay? Purport, as stated in Bhagavad Gita, the Lord descends on earth for the protection of the faithful and the annihilation of the impious. So after the battle of Kurukshetra and establishment of Maharaj Yudhisthira, the mission of the Lord was complete. The Pandavas, especially Sri Arjuna, were eternal companions of the Lord. And therefore, Arjuna went to Dwarka to hear from the Lord of his next program of work. So those of you that are just coming in today, or relatively recently, it's a learning curve. You're coming in the middle of a complicated story. And I'm sure just hearing all the different languages and everything will make it extra challenging for you. But anyway, we're glad you're here. And hopefully you'll be able to follow and get some points. You will. I know that because hopefully it'll be transcendental sound vibration. Okay, text 2. We're just going to read the translation. A few months passed and Arjuna did not return. Maharaj Yudhisthira then began to observe some inauspicious omens, which were fearful in themselves. Interesting. Anantaji, can you read? Because you've got the microphone there. Could you read the purport, please?
Lord Sri Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is ad infinitum, more powerful than the most powerful sun of our experience. Millions and billions of suns are created by him and annihilated by him within his one breathing period.
Who's that referring to? Mahavishnu. Yes, go on.
In the material world, the sun is considered to be the source of all productivity and material energy. And only due to the sun can we have the necessities of life. Therefore, during the personal presence of the Lord on the earth, all paraphernalia for our peace and prosperity, especially religion and knowledge, were in full display because of the Lord's presence, just as there is a full flood of light in the presence of the glowing sun. Maharaj Yudhisthira, observed some discrepancies in his kingdom, and therefore he became very anxious about Arjuna, who was long absent, and there was also no news about Dwarka's well-being. He suspected the disappearance of Lord Krishna. Otherwise, there would have been no possibility of fearful omens.
Thanks. Go on to the next verse, text 3. He saw that the direction... This is Yudhisthira. He saw that the direction of eternal time had changed, and this was very fearful. There were disruptions in the seasonal regularities. People in general had become very greedy, angry, and deceitful, and he saw that they were adopting foul means of livelihood. Can you pass the mic on, and can we read the purport there, please?
When civilization is disconnected from the loving relation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, symptoms like changes of seasonal regulations, foul means of livelihood, greed, anger, and fraudulence become rampant. The change of seasonal regulations refers to one season's atmosphere becoming manifest in another season. For example, the rainy seasons being transferred to autumn, or the fructification of fruits and flowers from one season in another season. A godless man is invariably greedy, angry, and fraudulent. Such a man can earn his livelihood by any means, black or white. During the reign of Maharaj Yudhishthir, all the above symptoms were conspicuous by their absence.
Pass on the mic, please.
But Maharaj Yudhishthir was astonished to experience even a slight change in the godly atmosphere of his kingdom, and at once suspected the disappearance of the Lord. Foul means of livelihood implies deviation from one's occupational duty. There are prescribed duties for everyone, such as the Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, and Shudra. But anyone who deviates from his prescribed duties and declares another's duty to be his own is following a foul and improper duty. A man becomes too greedy for wealth and power when he has no higher objective in life, and when he thinks that his earthly life of a few years is all in all.
I think that sentence deserves a repetition, please.
A man becomes too greedy for wealth and power when he has no higher objective in life, and when he thinks that this earthly life of a few years is all in all. Ignorance is the cause for all these anomalies in human society. And to remove this ignorance, especially in this age of degradation, the powerful sun is there to distribute light in the shape of Srimad Bhagavatam.
Thank you. Text 4, all ordinary transactions and dealings became polluted with cheating, even between friends. And in familial affairs, there was always misunderstanding between fathers, mothers, and sons, between well-wishers, and between brothers. Even between husband and wife, there was strain and quarrel. Can we continue reading the purport there? Thank you.
A conditioned living being is endowed with four principles of malpractice, namely errors, insanity, inability, and cheating. These are signs of imperfection, and out of the four, the propensity to cheat others is most prominent. And this cheating practice is there in the conditioned souls because the conditioned souls are primarily in the material world, imbued with an unnatural desire to lord it over the material world. A living being is in his pure state is not conditioned by the laws, because in his pure state he is conscious that a living being is eternally subservient to the Supreme Being, and thus it is always good for him to remain subservient instead of falsely trying to lord it over the property of the Supreme Lord.
Thanks. Can you pass it on?
In the conditioned state, the living being is not satisfied, even if he actually becomes the lord of all that he surveys, which he never becomes, and therefore... He becomes the victim of all kinds of cheating, even with his nearest and most intimate relations. In such an unsatisfactory state of affairs, there is no harmony, even between father and sons or between husband and wife. But all these contending difficulties can be mitigated by one process, and that is the devotional service of the Lord. The world of hypocrisy can be checked only by counteraction through devotional service to the Lord and nothing else. Maharaj Yudhishthira, having observed the disparities, conjectured the disappearance of the Lord from the earth.
Thanks. Continuing on. Text 5. In the course of time, it came to pass that people in general became accustomed to greed, anger, pride, etc. Maharaj Yudhisthira, observing all these omens, spoke to his younger brother.
Such a pious king as Maharaj Yudhisthira at once became perturbed that there were such inhuman symptoms as greed, anger, irreligiosity and hypocrisy rampant in society. It appears from this statement that all these symptoms of degraded society were unknown to the people of the time, and it was astonishing for them to have experienced them with the advent of the Kali Yuga, or the age of quarrel.
Gopal, you want to read the verse, the text, I mean?
Maharaj Yudhisthira said to his younger brother, Bhimasena, I sent Arjuna to Dwarka to meet his friends and learn from the personality of Godhead Krishna of his program of work.
Thanks. Would you like to read, Aaron? Next one with the mic? Is that okay? If you're comfortable with that, that's okay. Yeah, text 7 translation, right.
Since he departed, 7 months have passed, yet he has not returned. I do not know factually how things are going there.
Thanks. And text 8, Barbara?
Is he going to quit his earthly pastimes, as Devarsi Narada indicated? Has the time already arrived?
Thanks. Now, this purport here is particularly technical, okay? So, just be prepared. Chaitanya?
As we have discussed many times, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Sri Krishna, has many plenary expansions.
Okay, plenary means?
Part.
Full. Full. They're full expansions. They have the same potencies. He has expansions of personalities that have full potencies. Continue.
And each and every one of them, although equally powerful, executes different functions. In Bhagavad Gita, there are different statements by the Lord, and each of these statements is meant for different plenary portions or portions of plenary portions. For example, Sri Krishna, the Lord, says in Bhagavad Gita, whenever and wherever there is a decline in religious practice, O descendant of Bharat, and a predominant rise of irreligion, at that time I descend myself.
Olivia?
Bhagavad Gita 4:7.
To deliver the faithful, to annihilate the miscreants, and also to reestablish the principles of occupational duty, I appear in every age. If I should cease to work, when all humanity would be then all humanity would be misdirected. I would also be the cause of creating unwanted population, and I would thereby destroy the peace of all sentient beings. Bhagavad Gita 3:24. Whatever action a great man performs, common men will follow, and whatever standards he sets by exemplary acts, all the world pursues. Bhagavad Gita 3:21.
Thanks. Sona?
All the above statements by the Lord apply to different plenary portions of the Lord, namely his expansions such as Sanskarsana, Karsana, Vasudeva, Pradyumna, Anirudh, and Narayana. These are all he himself in different transcendental expansion, and still the Lord has Sri Krishna function in a different sphere of transcendental action with different grades of devotee. And yet Lord Krishna, as he is, appears once every 24 hours of Brahma time in each and every in each and every universe. And all
wait, you have to read that number.
Okay.
Come
all
on.
Of 8,640,000,000 solar years in each and every universe, and all his transcendental pastime are displayed in each and every universe in a routine spool.
Thanks. You want to pass it on to Chintamani? Thanks.
But in that routine spool, the functions of Lord Krishna, Lord Vasudeva, etc., are complex problems for the layman. There's no difference between the Lord's self and the Lord's transcendental body. The expansions execute differential activities. When the Lord, however, appears in his person as Lord Sri Krishna, his other plenary portions also join in him by his inconceivable potency called Yoga Maya, and thus the Lord Krishna of Vrindavan is different from the Lord Krishna of Mathura or the Lord Krishna of Dwarka.
The Virat Rupa of Lord Krishna is also different from him by his inconceivable potency. The Virat Rupa exhibited on the battlefield of Kurukshetra is the material conception of his form. Therefore, it should be understood that when Lord Krishna was apparently killed by the bow and arrow of the hunter, the Lord left his so-called material body in the material world.
Thanks.
The Lord is Kaivalya, and for him there is no difference between matter and spirit, because everything is created from him.
Therefore, let's read that one again, since it's like one of the sentences that we can understand out of the whole purport. Just read it again.
Okay. So the Lord is
Kaivalya.
Kaivalya, and from him there is no difference between matter and spirit, because everything is created from him. Therefore, his quitting one sort of body or accepting another body does not mean that he is like the ordinary living being. All such activities are simultaneously one and different by his inconceivable potency. When Maharaj Yudhishthira...
Pass it on. Thanks. She hardly ever gets to sit down during class lately. Okay, go on. At least on Tuesdays.
That's just when you're here.
Yeah, okay. That's why I just qualified. Okay.
When Maharaj Yudhishthira was lamenting the possibility of his disappearance, it was just in pursuance of a custom of lamenting the disappearance of a great friend. But factually, the Lord never quits his transcendental body, as is misconceived by less intelligent persons. Such less intelligent persons have been condemned by the Lord himself in Bhagavad Gita, and they are known as the mudhas. That the Lord left his body means that he left again his plenary portions in their respective dhams, transcendental abodes, as he left his virat rupa in the material world.
Thank you. So I was giving you a little bit of a warning. That is a very technical purport, but let's go back now and think of this series of verses that we've been looking at today. So Sutta Goswami speaking of how after the battle of Kurukshetra, the Lord had that particular activity had finished, then Maharaj Yudhishthira is established on the throne, and he's wondering what's Krishna going to do next. So he sends Arjuna to Dwarka. But he starts to get a little disturbed after a certain... He said 7 months. Arjuna went to Dwarka and he was gone 7 months. So he's a little anxious because you can imagine in before easily, readily available communications, he hadn't heard anything. 7 months, he hadn't heard anything. No letters, no emails, nobody coming from Dwarka to say, oh, I saw Arjuna in Dwarka and this is what was... Nothing, he hadn't heard... So he became anxious for the welfare of his brother. But more than that, what was other things that made him anxious? Bad omens. Like, do you remember some of the things that were mentioned? What was it that he started to see? People were becoming greedy. That hadn't happened before. What other characteristics were mentioned that Yudhishthira hadn't seen these things. It wasn't like we read it and it was like, yeah, so what? It's like, you know, of course there's all these things. Clayton? Okay. Can we throw over the microphone or I'll repeat?
Weren't Duryodhana and all those personalities also displaying greed? And
okay. Yes, but the clarification is given that he saw it in the people in general. In other words, it was becoming more widespread. So, yes, bad qualities always exist because there's the choice there. But in general, the people were pious and well-behaved, endowed with godly qualities and peaceful and et cetera, et cetera. But the people in general became accustomed to these greedy, cheating, even between friends, there was cheating, even between friends. I mean, you know, it's one thing you cheat somebody you're never going to see again or whom you think you're never going to see again. That's one type of cheating, right? That's like business, right? They call it business, but we really know underneath it's cheating. But but it's another thing to cheat somebody that you know, that you have some relationship with, that you see. I mean, that's even more bold, right? It's even more degraded, you can say. So, yes, Chaitanya Ji? Oh, good, thanks. Seasonal changes, meaning that the strawberries started to flower in the spring, and then a cold snap came and froze all the strawberries. The seasonal occurrences in one season came appeared in other seasons. And that's like, we just had that just last week, you know, started to get so warm, and the fruit trees at my house all started to flower, and then it goes down to 20 degrees, and they all freeze, you know, so... many, many seasonal discrepancies. And this was a shock to Maharaj Yudhishthira. It was a shock because previously the people were not endowed like that. Previously the people were living
in a very glorious, God-centered way. Now, I was especially struck how Srila Prabhupada and how these verses in the Bhagavatam were not giving a sectarian viewpoint of why this was so, but in a broad sense, because people were God-conscious. They understood there's a creator, I'm his servant, and their life was glorifying him in some way or other. We can understand through the whole information of Vedic literature that there are different ages. There are different ages of time. It's compared to the seasonal changes. There's spring, summer, fall, and winter. So in the rotation of eternal time, or the rotation of time in the material world, let's clarify that, in the material world, manifest in the material time, there's seasonal varieties to the creation. In the beginning of the creation, Satya Yuga. The beginning of the creation, Satya Yuga, and the cycle of time, people were endowed with extremely long lives, extreme piety, and it was common that they understood that even though their life was long, that their life was, that this life in the material world is not our real home. And our real home is in the spiritual world, serving the Lord. And so therefore, they were all inclined towards self-realization. Satya Yuga is also known as the age of truthfulness. They were all inclined towards self-realization. And Satya Yuga, do any of you know how long the age of Satya Yuga lasts for? Yeah, around that. 17. But that's okay. It's actually 1 million, you're right, I can't count my zeros, you're right, 1,728,000 years. Thanks, Clayton. So then, and the people's life was generally 100,000 years they lived. So we think, is that true? It's true because Srimad Bhagavatam, spoken by or recorded by Srila Vyasadeva, Srila Prabhupada explains it in the 12th canto, that when he talks about the symptoms of Kali Yuga, that no one can record transcendental literature unless they're Tri Kala Gya. Tri means three. Kala means time. Gya means knower. Unless they can know time in three phases. In the past, in the present, and in the future. Tri Kala Gya. They have to be able to. So, Vyasadeva was an expansion, an empowered incarnation of the Lord to record the Vedic literature. He could see the whole cycle of time, and he could understand, and he's recorded it. And obviously, we're understanding Srimad Bhagavatam was written down, recorded 5,000 years ago, and these symptoms that were recorded 5,000 years ago, we're experiencing today as if it was written yesterday, right? As if it was written in 1970, talking about the degradation of the qualities of man. So this was recorded, Srimad Bhagavatam was recorded 5,000 years ago and predicting what's going to happen in the future and also explaining and enlightening us what's happened in the past. So in this cycle of time, we're explaining the cycle of time, Satya Yuga, first Yuga, people lived 100,000 years, they were all 100% inclined towards self-realization, but as the time passes, it's a degrading thing. Time wears away all. The good qualities of man were worn away by 25%. And Treta Yuga comes into being for 1 million, little bit less, 1,296,000 years. The other one was 1,700-something-thousand years. This is 1,200,000, almost 300,000 years. And the people are living 10,000 years only. 10,000 years only. And still they're thinking, wow, there's not enough time in the day. No, anyway. Dwapara Yuga comes, and they're living, the Yuga lasts much less, 864,000. And their people are living only 1,000 years. And in Kali Yuga, now this is Maharaj Yudhisthira, he's right on the junction. He's right on the junction, the end of Dwapara Yuga, the beginning of Kali Yuga. Battle of Kurukshetra began, right, that was the beginning of the Kali Yuga epoch, more or less. And activities happened during the Battle of Kurukshetra that never would take place previously in other battles. Kshatriyas fought in certain codes. They never fought at night. They never shot anybody in the back who was fleeing, anybody who was afraid. What to speak of sleeping? That was like ridiculous. What to speak of the innocent public? They only fought equal combatants. The elephant soldiers didn't even fight with the foot soldiers. They just fought with other elephant warriors. They had a whole structure. But in Battle of Kurukshetra, you hear little anomalies, little stories. This happened. That one got shot. Karna, Arjuna and Karna, when Karna's wheel stuck in the mud, it wasn't the proper time for anyone to be shooting arrows at him because he was not fighting, per se. Anyway, so that was the beginning. Then, so Maharaj Yudhisthira continues to see these signs of degradation, of degradation of character. So much so that we're reading these, and we're like, you know, seeing that there's quarrel between husband and wife, and we're thinking, what are we thinking? Like, well, just get it. No, we're not necessarily. But anyway, you know, it's just like, of course, you know. Yes, quarrel between husband, which wife, which husband, which number? Oh, was that 3 or 4? Oh, okay, whatever. You know, it's like, no, switch here, go there. That, it's just like so much degraded because why? So what is what did Prabhupada say? What did he stress was the reason for that? The root cause of the degradation of society. What did he say? He said it, one of those sentences. Gopal.
Godlessness.
And he didn't say ISKCONless. He just said godlessness. Godlessness in general. If people would be devoted to the Lord, honestly devoted to the Lord, then their lives would be uplifted. But it's because of godlessness and ignorance. Because of ignorance. Ignorance of what? This life of a few years is my only life. Did you catch that in that sentence? That was the one that we had him repeat. This life of a few years is all in all. What was that verse? Let's go look. Do you remember where it was? Where are you reading from? Which verse? Thanks. Yeah. Thanks. Go. Keep reading. You can go.
A man becomes too greedy for wealth and power when he has no higher objective in life, when he thinks that this earth is a few years is all in all.
Right. Good. Thanks. Exactly what I wanted to remember. Right. Becomes too greedy for wealth and power when he has no higher objective. In other words, when his objective is material gain for me and my family or for me and the person that I'm with at the time, then I'm going to do anything, black or white, legal or illegal, to satisfy or get in power or accumulate what I can. And during this time, because total forgetfulness that this is not our only life. This is not our only chance. Eternal. The living entity is eternal. And the body is just here for a few years only. And the real goal is to get out of the whole kit and caboodle, as they say. The whole thing, the whole material world, cycle, birth, old age, disease and death. Get out of that totally and go. How is it that there's how is it that one can revive that lost consciousness? This is like ABC review, but it's okay. So how is it that one can revive and get out of the ignorance? That's a good way. Thanks. Chanting the Lord's name, chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. Yes, Kaylee? Oh, here, there's an example in the, I don't know where it is, but how a bound, someone who's bound by their hands and feet can't untie themselves. So someone who's bound up by the modes of material nature, bound up by ignorance, they can't free themselves on their own, by their own endeavor. They have to have someone who's not bound, hear from someone who's liberated from that condition in order to get free. So there's a nice story, Mahabharat story. I was thinking after the Battle of Kurukshetra, Maharishi Yudhisthira is situated on the throne. He's in court, and Bhim is sitting at his Bhim is attending to the court, Bhima. And a man comes up to Bhim and says, "I want to speak to Maharaj Yudhisthira." And Bhima says, "Well, you know, maybe I can help you first. Why don't you just tell me what's your problem?" He said, "I have a question. I just saw this strange occurrence, and I don't understand it, and I wanted him to explain it." Bhima said, "Well, I can help you. What is it?" He said, "Well, I was just coming along the road, and I saw a boundary wall. You know, I saw a boundary wall that was protecting some crops, some agricultural field. But the boundary wall all of a sudden started eating the crops. And I want to know what that means." And Bhima says, maybe you better go in and ask Yudhisthira, okay? So he goes in, and Bhimasena is outside waiting. Another person, some time goes by, another person comes by and said, "I need to speak to Maharaj Yudhisthira right away." Same thing happened. "Well, maybe I can help you." He said, "Well, I just saw an unusual thing. I just saw a man carrying a full bucket of water along the road, and he stopped for a little bit. And then what he did was he poured the bucket. He had some other containers with him, smaller containers, and he poured the water into four smaller containers and emptied the bucket, and the four smaller containers filled up. And then he took those water and poured it back into the bucket. But the bucket was only half full now. What does that mean?" Bhima said, "Hell, you can go in." And then another person came, another perplexing question. "I just saw an elephant pass through a hole in a wall, but his tail got stuck. How did that happen? What does that mean?" So they were all like wondering what's going on. Bhima said, "Go on in." And so Bhima is outside, and he's waiting for the first person to come out. Nobody's coming out. And then a fourth person comes. The fourth person says, "I just saw a huge mountain of stone that had a small little thin vine coming down from it. And I just saw this skinny little old guy come up. And he tugged on that vine, and the whole mountain crumbled. And I want to know what's going on." Bhima said, "Go inside." So he's waiting and waiting quite impatiently because Bhima wants to know what's going on. Nobody comes out. Finally, Bhima goes inside. He doesn't see anybody there. Only Maharishi Yudhisthira is there. He said, "Where are those men?" Yudhisthira says, "What men?" "The ones that I sent in. Nobody's come in. What's going on?" Said, and Bhima said, "Well, I've seen four people approached me, and I sent them in four separately to see you." And Yudhisthira said, what was their intent? What did they want?" And he explained the questions over again. Then, bewildering, even more bewildering, Maharaj Yudhisthira got angry when he heard their questions. He got angry. He started to shout, "Where are they? Find them. Get them. Capture them. Where are they?" And Bhima is totally 100% bewildered. What's going on? What is And yeah, Maharaj Yudhisthira, he said, please explain it to me. I'm losing my mind here. Yudhisthira says, these people were personification of Kali, the Kali Yuga. Bhima said, oh? He said, yes. He said, the boundary wall that protects the crops. In Kali Yuga, there are classes of personalities that we go to for protection, like priestly personalities, even not so much anymore, but previously governmental personalities, the law enforcement, personalities that you go natural, that are meant to give protection. They themselves are exploiting those people. The wall was eating the crops. It's supposed to be protecting the crops. It's exploiting the crops. So those people who are meant to give protection in Kali Yuga, they exploit their subordinates. Very disheartening, to say the least, right? To put it mildly. The man with the full bucket of water is like the father who has four sons and toils his whole life to support his children, let them go to the, you know, give them the best opportunities that he can. And in his old age, none of those four will even support him. And he's left to be on his own in his old age. So he's poured his life blood into those four containers, his four children. And they, in return, maybe they'll send him a card on Father's Day. The elephant that was able to pass through this hole, has to be quite a large hole in a wall for the elephant to pass through. How is it that the tail got stuck? He said that in Kali Yuga, and that's one of the symptoms mentioned in the 12th canto in Kali Yuga, big famous wealthy personalities can do anything and get away with it through the manipulating the laws and this and that. And the small little person, he'll be arrested for, you know, running a stop sign or possession of marijuana or this or that. But the guys who are like bringing it over in barrel loads, they're respectable because they have money. In Kali Yuga, another symptom of respect is if you have money, you're respectable. Doesn't matter how you got that money. Doesn't matter what your life is like. But if you have money, then you're respectable. If you're a very popular pop singer, and you're very beautiful and young, and you just happen to die from an overdose of drugs and alcohol and barbiturates and this and that, well, it's okay. Because you're from our state, we're gonna lower the flag when you die. Half mast. We'll put it at half mast because you're a greatly famous personality. Doesn't matter what kind of a life you led or what kind of a message are you giving to our children. Doesn't matter. Because you have money, you're respectable. That's another symptom of Kali Yuga. And what was, this is our hope. Because it's not meant to be a depressing class. It's supposed to be a hopeful class because in Kali Yuga there's one really good thing. Do you know Clayton? Srimad Bhagavatam and, you're right, I think I hear it in the kitchen, and the holy name. There's a verse in Srimad Bhagavatam that this Kali Yuga is an ocean of faults. Yuck. I mean, you know, an ocean of faults, right? But there's one good thing, that simply the chanting of the holy name of the Lord can take one out of that ocean of faults. So that's our only hope. And so that was the mountain. The mountain of each one of us has a mountain of past karmic reactions, sinful activities that not just they have done, we have done. We have it. It's just like waiting to fall on our head. So we've got to keep getting on again. So that little vine is like the japa, the holy name. So the little man came up. He's a little skinny guy, totally unqualified to knock over a mountain. But by the chanting of the holy name, that whole mountain of karmic activities completely dissolved. So that's makes Kali Yuga really, really, really auspicious. The vine represents the holy name. The man who pulled the vine took advantage of the chanting of the holy name, okay? And chanted very sincerely. So that's what makes it very hopeful and very exciting. In one sense, we're the burnt remnants. We've been here through cycles, Satya Yuga, Treta Yuga, Dwapara Yuga, and finally Kali Yuga, and we still haven't got it together to get out of this material world. But now, somehow or other, we've come in contact, somehow or other, our intelligence has been awakened by hearing from somebody who's not bound by this material modes of nature, that opportunity to hear. This isn't, wake up, wake up. You don't really belong here. This ocean of faults that you're trying to cross by your puny endeavor to swim across the ocean by your own strength, it's never going to work. Don't worry. You don't have to give up. Just, you know, chant the holy name of the Lord and you'll get all success. So even though we've been around through many cycles of the seasonal, the time changes, still, we're finally, and not only that, here's another thing that's quite optimistic, because we read it in that last, in text 8, that Krishna comes once in a day of Brahma, and he comes in this Kali Yuga cycle. So he just came, just a little, 5,000 years ago is not very long. Seems like it if you look at it from an ant's point of view, but if you look at it from Vog Brahma's point of view, it's just a few seconds. Not only did Krishna come 5,000 years ago, but Lord Chaitanya came a split second ago. So, and they always come together. They always come together, Krishna and Chaitanya, Krishna and Chaitanya. So we're especially fortunate that we're here now, that we can take advantage of this. So let us do that with our full earnestness, whatever little bit of sincerity we can muster, it'll be quite beneficial. Shruti? Shruti Dar. That's my new name for you. Shruti Dar. Yeah. Shruti Dar means one who can... Shruti Dar is one who can remember everything? What does Shruti Dar mean? I forget all of a sudden. Shruti Dar. Yeah, Shruti Dar means one who can remembers everything that he reads. Hears. Okay, because it didn't used to be written. Yeah. Okay.
I've been thinking about how in general we tend to find so many faults in people. And then I was also thinking about ISKCON in general, like how sometimes we just can't handle the administration. We find faults in the administration. That, and then, you know, there are so many things in ISKCON and like in general, like there is, I guess due to Kali Yuga, there is so much quarrel.
Right.
And right. So how really the holy name, should we suddenly start chanting then? And like, because normally I think like the mind projects those faults on in general.
Okay.
And so how does this work? Like really the holy name, like how does it eradicate this fault of ocean of faults?
How does the holy name eradicate the ocean of fault? Well, it just so happens. I was reading Srimad Bhagavatam, second canto. Is that the ninth chapter? Chatur Sloki? Is that ninth chapter? Ninth chapter 33 through whatever, 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay, and there's one of the purports in there, Prabhupada talks about the mystery of bhakti yoga. And in that purport, I didn't count, but it's quite apparent. Prabhupada must have said the word mystery about at least 30 times. It was a long purport, a few pages, but he talked about it's a mystery. So that's what I'm going to take for my answer to that question. How the holy name eradicates the faults in the heart? It can't be, as far as, since you're asking me, this is my response. I would say ask more people, more advanced people. But it's a mystery. It's a mystery how the holy name, but Krishna empowers. See, one thing that we have to understand is the Lord. If you want to call him Krishna, we like to call him Krishna, but we can call him the Lord. The Lord can do anything. If you really do believe in God, you have to understand God is all-powerful. How is that played out? It's played out in so many ways. This material world is His energy. The spiritual world is His energy. That was another thing that was mentioned in that eighth purport, in the eighth text purport, that material and spiritual is the same for the Lord. In Krishna book, or Prayers by Personified Veda, Srimad Bhagavatam, Prayers by Personified Veda, Maharaj Parikit asked Sukadeva Goswami more or less a similar question. And Sukadeva Goswami says, this proves that God is a person. And I always had a really hard time. How does that question mean God is a person? So he explains it. So because God, Krishna, He can empower these material, now I remember the question better. Maharaj Parikit asked Sukadeva Goswami, how can this material tongue vibrate spiritual sound vibration? If the name of the holy name of the Lord we're saying is spiritual sound vibration, I have a material body with a material tongue with material ears. How can the material tongue vibrate something that's beyond the material world? And Sukadeva Goswami says, this proves that God is a person. And I'm going, huh? Huh? But he says, because God, Krishna, can empower those words with His potency. And His potency is all powerful. And His potency can cleanse the heart of the misconceptions. Now, so He can do that. So how is it done? That's Krishna's problem. And He's a competent person to give that problem to. It's not our problem. Our problem is to take up the process with as much faith that we have from wherever we're at. A little bit of faith, we'll try it. A little bit more faith, we'll try it with more sincerity. And with a little bit more faith, because we've built up experience that this is doing something, having its effect, then let me go. Let me go on further and try even with more sincerity. Just to deal with a little bit the beginning of the question, we Kali Yuga, there's lots of faults to find. There's lots of faults. How is it that we can find those faults if we don't have them ourselves? If it's a fault that's beyond our experience, we wouldn't be able to identify it. But if it's a fault that's within our experience, within my mind and my heart and my desires, then I can identify, oh, this person's cheating, oh, this person's puffed up, oh, this person just wants prestige. because I can relate to that, because that's how I am. So that's, you might find helpful to remember that. Okay.
So when we see those faults, what should we do?
When we see the faults, we should say, what are the good characteristics? The little fly, he can find those little sores. You only have a little bit of a scratchy, itchy sore on your arm, and the fly can find it in 2.5 seconds. But the bee, he doesn't pay any attention to that. He goes for the sweet fragrance of the honey of the flower. So try, when those faults are there, try to find the good things. That's a very optimistic way. Okay, thank you.